1177 in the church Bibles. So this series is on church, and we're thinking about what church is for, and the topic for this morning is prayer. Now in verse 18 of Ephesians 6, Paul tells us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. But have you ever wondered what that actually means? Does that mean that we physically have to pray all the time? So you sort of walk around everywhere with your hands together and your eyes closed. And the Brazilian goalkeeper Isidore Irindir had to learn that the hard way. When his team Rio Preto was playing, appropriately enough they were playing Corinthians in the 1970s. There's one very famous, memorable match. You see, Isidore, I don't know if he's still alive, I presume so, he is or was a Christian, and his habit was to pray before every game, and so there he was, kneeling in his goal, praying at the start of the match, at the point that the referee blew his whistle. And unfortunately for Isidore, the person kicking off was the famous Brazilian Roberto Rivellino, who spotted that he was still praying, so from the kickoff he shot into the unguarded net, 3 seconds gone, Corinthians 1, Rio Preto 0. Even Hull City can't score that quickly. So what does that mean? And we're not going to look at that whole passage, we're just going to look at this one verse. Oops. Andy, can you just click it on? This doesn't seem to be working for some strange reason. We're going to just look at this one verse, Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Well, what did Paul mean by that? Well, let's get really, really practical this morning. What is prayer all about? What does Paul mean when he says that? Very, very simply, 3 questions about prayer. How do we pray? Secondly, what do we pray? What's the content of our prayers? What should it be? And finally, when should we pray? So as Adrian said, that the heading, as commonly referred to, that passage that we've just read, is often known as the armour of God, because there Paul compares the Christian life to a soldier fighting in a battle against the spiritual forces of darkness, against the devil. And for that battle, God has given every Christian various pieces of spiritual armour and a weapon, the sword of the Spirit. And having listed them in verses 4 to 17, Paul finishes that section by telling them that they should pray. But as I think John Stott helpfully comments, it's probably not, as Paul says that in verse 18, it's probably not that he's saying, here's another weapon, another piece of armour to add to this list. Rather, he wants them to see prayer as something that pervades our Christian life, that covers all our spiritual warfare. So by giving verse 18 close inspection, we can discover the answers that Paul gave to our questions about prayer. So first of all, how? How do we pray? And we've got to pray in the Spirit. What Paul says in verse 18. But what does that mean? When Paul says, well, we pray and we've got to pray in the Spirit, does that mean some kind of spiritual, in the sense of ecstatic experience, that you can only pray when you sort of get zapped? So when you turn to pray, you've got to wait for that kind of feel. Is it something you feel? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, whenever you come across a question like that, you need to ask, well, when Paul says in the Spirit, what does he mean by that in Ephesians? He says that in Ephesians. What does he mean that in Ephesians? Well, if you look at Ephesians 2 verse 18, Paul makes it very clear that we have access to God the Father by one Spirit. So Paul in that section in chapter 2 is explaining that all that Jesus has achieved through his death and resurrection, and what that achieves is we as sinful human beings are reconciled with God, and we now have access to God because of his death and resurrection. And that access to God is through the Spirit. What Paul is saying is there is no other way to approach God than the way, the route, that Jesus has made possible through his death and resurrection. In other words, when we come to prayer, we have to choose the medium of our communication. In this day and age, you're spoiled for choice. If you want to communicate with someone, you can do all sorts of things. You could ring them up, you could send them a text, you could send them an email, you could even Skype. Occasionally, we could even talk to them in person. Well, when it comes to approaching God, Paul is saying there is only one medium of communication that's possible. There's only one way you can communicate with God, one channel, and that is in the Spirit, in the sense that Jesus' death and resurrection has made it possible to do it this way in the Spirit. We don't simply punch a few digits in our phone and sort of call up God thoughtlessly. We always approach him through Jesus. That's why when Esther was praying, she finished her prayer by saying, "In the name of Jesus," because we're remembering that we only have that one access in the Spirit. So when we pray in the Spirit, that is because of the access that Jesus has provided for us. But it also tells us something about the relationship that Jesus has made possible with God. When we pray to God in the Spirit, that reminds us that he is our Heavenly Father. After all, in the New Testament, particularly in Romans 8 and Galatians 4, Paul explains that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption. Being in the Spirit means knowing that you are a child of God and that you address God as Abba, Daddy, Father. So when we come to God in prayer, we come to him like children to a father. Now, I appreciate that some of us, fathers, that's not a good image. When you hear the word father, you don't think of a healthy relationship, maybe because of a difficult relationship you had with your father. Well, please don't allow bad experiences of fathers to prejudice you against your Heavenly Father. Rather, the significance of this term is it's a personal term. That God is a person with whom we can have a relationship. And actually, he shows us what a perfect father really is. No human father is perfect, but this father is. So praying in the Spirit means knowing God as your father, a father that you want to talk to. When I speak to my father, I know that he speaks to me just because of the relationship. I don't have to use special words. I don't have to address him in a particular way. I don't have to have some technical expressions. Otherwise, he won't listen to me. He wants to talk to me simply because of the relationship. Don't have to make long speeches. Similarly, in the Spirit means access to the Father, and therefore I speak to him like my daddy, my Abba. Stories told of a young man who became a Christian. He came from a non-Christian background. He didn't know anything about how to behave in church. He said it was all new to him, but it was fantastic. He loved it. He was so excited about his relationship with God through Jesus. He wanted to pray all the time. So whenever the church had a prayer meeting, he turned up. But because he was a bit rough and ready, I think he came from a local council estate, he didn't use all the correct terms. And one deacon took him aside one day and sort of just put him straight on how he was supposed to pray. But the young man was sort of just surprised by this. He just looked perplexed and didn't really understand what the deacon was saying and just said to him, "Look, I wasn't talking to you." I remember the time when my daughters were so young, they couldn't talk properly. And they couldn't even construct full sentences. But did that mean I didn't want to listen to them? Of course not. I love, because they're my children, I love to listen to them. So praying in the Spirit means that God is our Father, our Daddy. And we don't have to have airs and graces. We don't have to have all the right terms. Let's just talk to him as our Father. But there's another spirit to the coin. In the New Testament, praying in the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, thanks to Jesus, also means that we're speaking to God as our Lord as well as our Father. Paul makes that very clear in 2 Corinthians 3. He says the Holy Spirit is the Lord and vice versa. So as we address God in the Spirit, yes, he's our Father, but he's also our Lord. He's the holy, mighty creator of the universe. So that means when we address him, we do with respect and reverence and awe. Because yes, he's our daddy, but he's not just like our daddy. He's also our Lord. So as we come to pray, we do with those two things together. And that means we have two images of God that we wrestle with as we pray. It may seem an obvious thing to say, but the way you pray will be very greatly shaped by how you view God. If you just pause a moment, close your eyes and just think, what image comes to mind when you think of God? Whatever image that is will heavily shape your prayers. That's why our prayers need to be in the Spirit. Because Father and Lord means he is both willing and able to answer our prayers. If you view God like some kind of, I don't know, celestial headmaster, you know, who sits behind a big desk and is very distant but powerful and in charge, and he's only waiting for you to mess up so he can cane you. If that's your kind of view of God, well, you're going to have no problem praying to him as able. You know he has the authority to do things and answer prayers. But actually what you're not sure about is that he's willing, that he really wants to answer your prayers. But similarly, if you have a view of God as just sort of like your best mate, he's a bit of a pal, maybe like a sort of an old, kindly grandfather kind of figure, then the problem is the other way. You know he's willing, but he's like the friend who sort of puts their arm around you in tough circumstances. You know he's on your side, but he's not really able to do anything about it. No, when we pray in the Spirit, it's through the access that Jesus has provided, but it's God who is both Lord and Father. He is both able and willing to answer our prayers. Do we really believe that? Well, I'm going to give you a chance to put that into practice now. What I'm going to suggest is that Esther has prayed for lots of things, both international things and also local things. Some other things that spring to my mind is that Narendra Modi, a Hindu nationalist, has just been elected Prime Minister of India, the largest democracy on the face of the planet. We should pray for India. There's a woman, Maryam Ibrahim, who is being threatened with the death penalty in Sudan because she's converted to Christianity. We should pray for her. We should pray for Jo as she starts her new job. There's all sorts of things. Why don't we just have literally just two or three brave people lead us in open prayer. Very, very short prayers. Just pray for some of those things because we really believe that God is able and willing to answer our prayers because of Jesus. So could just literally just two or three people, very short prayers, pray out nice and loud so most of us can hear, and then I'll say Amen just in a couple of minutes. So Heavenly Father, we pray these prayers in the Spirit through the work of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so that's how we pray. But secondly, what do we pray? What should the content of our prayers be? Well, Paul answers that by saying all kinds of prayers and requests. And at first glance, that doesn't seem like a lot of help to say all kinds of prayers. But what he means by that is covering all aspects of prayer, not just shopping list prayers. He wants us to pray for all areas of prayer, variety in our prayers. Because prayer is about developing a relationship with this... oh dear, I think the battery must be going in this, whatever, it's not moving on. Thanks, Andy. With this relationship with the Heavenly Father, if it's all about a relationship, how can we get to know God more in our prayer lives? What kind of relationship would I have with my wife if all I ever did was just ask her to do things? You know, dear Emily, she finds this letter, it just says, dear Emily, please wash my clothes, iron them, cook my dinner, help me with some things. Amen. Now, of course, it's right in relationship to ask one another for things, but if that's all the relationship is, what kind of relationship is it? I better move on quickly before I dig myself in a bigger, deeper hole. There are times when we need to ask God for things, but others when we should be thanking Him, confessing things to Him, or crying out in our pain, or praying for others. And that's why we need some kind of agenda. Yep, there are times I ask my wife for things, and there are other times when actually, I know it sounds really sad, but I'm sure other couples have this, where you actually have to make an appointment to say, we must spend 5 minutes talking about X, something to do with the girls or whatever. Because communication needs discipline as well. It does sound very cold and impersonal, but actually you can't just rely on the kind of emotional times. You have to develop habits and disciplines in your communication for the relationship to grow and flourish. I need an agenda. So here's some helpful guidelines. If you come to the evening service last term, we thought a lot about different ways to pray. So Joe Phillips looked at the Lord's Prayer, how we can use that as a model, a sort of an agenda to follow. Here's one that I used. You don't have to follow this. I personally just find this quite helpful. If you're struggling, how can I, in my prayer life, make sure that I pray for all kinds of things and not just get stuck into sort of a shopping list? Here's one I find useful. ACTS, the word ACTS is an acronym, A-C-T-S. The A standing for adoration. So I might begin my prayer. You could do this in 5 minutes easy. I begin by adoring God, spending some time disciplining myself simply to praise God for how great He is. And then after that, I'll spend some time confessing my sin to Him. Moving on to thanksgiving. So as a discipline, I make myself, I can't move on, make myself think, well, during this week, what can I thank God for in my life? And then finally, S, supplication. It's a long word that's just because it fits S. It simply means asking God for things. So I could do that. I could just move adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You may or may not have noticed, but Esther's prayer was a wonderful example of that. It wasn't done formally, but her prayer contained all those four things. I take a passage of scripture, maybe Psalm 100, to start me off. And as we pray for others, notice Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, especially we keep on praying for all the saints. And by saints, he simply means other Christians. So we pray for other Christians, especially pray for all the world, but especially for other Christians. And as a church, of course, the first people that come to mind are those we've sent out from this place around the world. Like Matt and Rachel in Indonesia. It'd be good to pray particularly for Matt today as he has to go on a trip to a remote island in Indonesia. For the Hawks as they set up home in Cambodia and so on. So that's just a suggestion. You don't have to follow this. You come up with your own way. But Paul is saying that when we pray, we need some kind of discipline in our prayer life. We need things, an agenda, whatever it works for you, that helps you to pray all kinds of prayers. Because if you don't have something like this, let's be honest, it just degenerates into kind of, I only pray when I've got to ask God for something. Now, if we want some kind of discipline, you could use something like this. So again, to make it really practical, let's just pause now. At this time, let's not have a time of open prayer. What I suggest is we simply have about a minute or two silence. You to pray on your own. And if you find it helpful, you could try just in a couple of minutes, just literally doing this, adoring God, confessing sin, thanking Him for stuff, asking for things, like ask for Matt's safe trip. So I would just literally have a minute or so of silence for you to pray on your own if you want to. Amen. There you go. That was just 2 minutes, but I reckon that was probably enough time to go through those things, and you can then develop that as a pattern. So how do we pray? We pray in the Spirit, which means through the access that Jesus has provided. What do we pray? Well, all different kinds of prayers. So we've got to develop the habit of making sure it's all types of prayers. But finally, when do we pray? And then we're back to our Brazilian goalkeeper. Always. But again, what does that mean? Does that mean all the time? I mean, wouldn't you bump into lampposts if you sort of were praying literally all the time? Well, no, I think what Paul means by that is that it is an attitude that we cultivate. So it's not so much a case that you are literally closing your eyes and putting your hands together and sort of praying at every moment of the day. But you are cultivating an attitude where you approach your life in such a way that everything that happens is something you bring to the Lord's presence in prayer. No area, no activity is off limits to pray for it. Nothing is too big or too small. Everything you want to pray about. Now again, this doesn't happen overnight. It's an attitude. I'm not going to get there just by suddenly saying, well, I'm going to pray all the time. But I'm just going to encourage with my friends who are believers that we want to pray about everything. So you're at work and there's a difficult situation. If you're a Christian on your own, you just simply turn that to prayer. If there are other Christians around you, you say, hey, why don't we pray about this? In fact, that's why I need other Christians. Why the Bible says it's so important as Christians that we pray on our own, but also together. How else? If it is so difficult, and I doubt somehow I'm the only person who finds prayer hard work, if it's really hard to develop these habits, I can't do it on my own. I'm never going to learn how to pray if all I'm doing is ever praying on my own. I need to regularly meet up with God's people to pray together, so that we learn how to pray together. I've learned so much about prayer simply by listening to other people pray, because we're all so different. Some of us, as I say, use sort of long technical words. Others are very simple in their prayers. It doesn't matter. They all echo the heartbeat of someone's life, doesn't it? You hear someone's soul poured forward when they actually pray. And that's how we learn to pray as well. If you're someone who finds it really difficult praying out loud, you think, oh, I really wouldn't want to do that, you don't have to. Come along and listen to other people pray. But you never will unless you do that. So prayer is something that we have to develop as an attitude, but that will only happen if we do it on our own, but also if we do it together. How do we cultivate this attitude? When I lived in Cheltenham, my daughters were very small, and where we happened to live was literally just about one street away from a hospital, and then a couple of streets the other direction was the fire station. So regularly meals were interrupted by a siren going by. And what we used to do, very simple little thing, again it only took about 30 seconds, was just whenever you heard the siren, whenever the conversation was interrupted with a sort of banana, was just to say, well actually let's just pray. Let's just pray for the fire that they're going to put out, or let's pray for the person that that ambulance is going to. And it's just a small little thing, but what we are trying to encourage our daughters to see is that that's a natural thing to do, that whenever something breaks into your life, your instinctive reaction is just to pray about it. Before or after a difficult meeting with an awkward colleague at work, pray. As you watch the ambulance zoom by, pray. As you watch the news, pray. As you go to work, as you go to the gym, pray. It's an attitude. That's why also as a church we put on different venues and ways. We appreciate, obviously, you can't come to everything. We don't expect you to come to everything. But there are plenty of ways you can meet with God's people to pray. If getting out at night is difficult, 11 o'clock every Thursday morning, there's a prayer meeting here every other week. So when home groups are not meeting, Thursday evening at 7:30, there's a church prayer meeting. Our home groups, as we meet together to study the Bible on the other 2 weeks, as well as studying the Bible, there is an opportunity to pray together. Again, you don't have to pray out loud, you can just sit there and listen, but it's God's people praying together. Some people meet in prayer triplets or in twos, partners, to meet up together just to encourage one another to pray, formally, informally. It's just something we develop as an attitude. When do we pray? Always. Always. It's just that sort of instinctive attitude that it's not in our strength. We don't have the capabilities to face life. So because of that, whenever anything happens, I just want to pray about it and for it. Just finish with this picture of this gentleman from New York. I've got no idea who he is, what his name is. But a friend of mine pointed me to, there's a website called Humans of New York. And what they do is just random people, I don't know who does it, maybe it's a group of people, but they take a photograph of some unknown person in New York and they just give you a tiny, probably about 3 sentences, interview, just gives you like a snapshot. And this particular guy, so I don't even know who his name is, but the thing that came through in my feed that struck me was he was interesting because he started the conversation by saying, I'm telling you, prayer works. So the person interviewing asked him one question. What's a time that prayer didn't work for you? And quick as a flash, his instant reply was, the time I didn't pray. What's a time that prayer didn't work for you? The time I didn't pray. Isn't that great? How do we pray? We pray with access to God, and that is incredible. That's just mind-blowing, isn't it? That we're able, just so easy for us to talk to God. It's so easy. I just have to open my mouth and I can talk to God. But that access is only possible because of Jesus. So I always pray in the Spirit, knowing that God is my Father and my Lord. He is both willing and able. What do we pray? Well, as we're developing a relationship with God, we pray all kinds of prayers. So our relationship isn't sort of one-sided. It's all different kinds of prayers, and that requires discipline. When do we pray? Always. Always, always, always. An attitude that permeates our lives, that it's just instinctive, that you just do it all the time. You grab people together and you want to say, hey, let's just pray about this. pray, pray, pray. That's what church is all about. So let's do that now. Let's finish by praying. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can pray to you with confidence. We do not take this lightly, but are overflowing with thankfulness that Jesus has made it possible. Our confidence is based solely on our trust in his saving work for us on the cross. This is what makes it possible for us to talk with the holy and mighty Creator of the universe. Therefore, Father, we ask, teach us to pray. Soften our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit into our hearts. Give us a desire to pray. May we want to pray. And bless us during the next week with the eager anticipation that as we pray, our relationship with you will deepen. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.